There's these weird satanic files mm-hmm. in our government, our politicians, mm-hmm.
our movies, our music, whoever Hollywood. Is ahead of all of those things.
Bring in the problem, and then they usher in the solution. They give us the problem,
yes.
and we just outrage at each other
yes.
while we're like pro-Fed. Anybody who's ingesting Fed slop and still Democrat, Republican, oh, you're a lefty, you're a righty, you're dumb. And like, what do we get as Americans by supporting Israel? It literally shows like each inmate that was in there, whether or not they're suicidal, how high grade, how quality their adrenochrome was. And so we know that there's children missing. We know that this government is run by satanic pedophiles. Mm-hmm. So we just—
Where are the children? I have heard about Jake through just my algorithm doing its thing, and I'm so happy that it brought me to you, and I'm so happy that we're doing this, and I hope this is one of many that we can do together and share on both of our platforms. Welcome. Right.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to talk about everything from Epstein to Israel, Charlie Kirk, and I'm an open book, so.
Let's start off with either Charlie Kirk or the most recent Epstein drop that they are taunting us with.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, with the Epstein files, we know that they've, you know, given us 3.5 million files, which 80% of them are redacted. So there's definitely a lot that's being hidden, but they're teasing us with a lot that's coming out so that it's causing a lot of outrage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just recently, Pam Bondi was, you know, just put on blast pretty much by all of our congressmen. And
yes,
she responded terribly.
Yeah.
They were talking about the names of the people that were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the ones is the Sheikh from Dubai, you know, the multi-billionaire. It's like, why are you guys hiding these people from the public? You know, you're supposed to be hiding the victims, yet mm-hmm. you're hiding the co-conspirators. So what is up with that?
I mean, there is no logic there. It's just ludicrous. I mean, it reminds me of, you know, when George W. was playing golf, and he's like, yeah, we got to fight against terrorism, and, you know, we got to do this and then, but hold on, just watch this drive.
We must stop the terror. I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers.
Thank you.
Now watch this drive.
Just completely missing the point, and it's a horrible way of refocusing us. It's absurd, and it's insulting, and it's stupid, and yes, it causes a lot of great funny memes, but I don't know who else needs to say what to her or anyone in the FBI or the Department of Justice to give us something. Because nothing is consistent and nothing is truthful.
Something. Like, no
just
arrests.
Just something.
Anything. You know? And we're looking at the victims there that are watching her. Mm-hmm. And she's over here talking about, like, look how great the Dow is doing. Mm-hmm.
The Dow is over 50,000 right now.
Because here we go. The Dow is now above 50,000.
Broke 50,000 on the Dow.
The boomers are all going to get such an amazing retirement. Let's
pension,
focus on the 401ks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like millennials and Gen Z and Gen Alpha are all looking at this like, what do we get out of supporting Israel? It's anti-Semitic to be talking about the people that are in these files because right. it leads us to believe that there's some type of cabal that's behind this that they're protecting. Any normal person who's caught with any of these allegations or even a murder, mm-hmm. they would do a legitimate crime scene. And this is just right. so eye-opening to see how our FBI is protecting pedophiles,
mm-hmm.
the worst of the worst, and not just pedophiles, because they won't protect the pedophiles that are just non-Jewish
mm-hmm.
and non-Israeli. And so there's this big conspiracy to hide this satanic cabal that's
literally
blackmailing.
But you can't hide something that is so obvious that
right.
it's 80, 90% this type of people.
Exactly.
And it's stemming from this, and it's going back to this, and
right.
you just follow the trail of where it leads to. You can't call something anti-Semitic if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, and everything is like showing you that it is that.
Exactly.
Another thing that I was really just upset, I mean, obviously it's very upsetting, but I feel like they're just giving us this information, taunting us with it, mocking us, and purposely just infuriating us, upsetting us, and causing these hellish like thoughts and nightmares, and also desensitizing us,
right.
Everything, but they're doing it purposefully. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing, and there's nothing you can fucking do about
it. Right. It's a test to the public to say, like, okay, if we show you guys that we're run by pedophiles, how are you guys going to react?
Exactly.
Are you guys still going to go out and vote?
No.
Even though we've seen what we've seen, are you still going to be a Democrat or a Republican? Or are you going to understand that they're all implicated? You know, we used to go to war over a 2% tax. It's the same thing with the whole plandemic. You know, they said, okay, well, if we roll out this virus, how willing are you guys
to
just follow
and obey
all of our orders and comply and to stop looking into things yourself?
Exactly.
And to expect that we're going to look into things for you and to trust the experts.
Right.
We can't trust them. They are not the experts.
Right.
Reading into these things doesn't make you a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
Which was coined by the FBI in the first place when JFK died.
And making them look stupid and crazy and all of that. Yeah, of course.
And they just dispense all of this information, so it's almost like an overload.
Mm-hmm.
You try and look something up on Google, like, hey, is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
The first 10 things you're going to see are from mainstream fact checkers that are all funded by defense contractors and pharmaceutical companies that are going to tell
that
you,
hey,
shut it down.
Right.
We're the experts.
Owned
Trust
by BlackRock.
Us. Right. A majority of Americans don't believe the mainstream media, yet it's still being pumped on us.
Yes.
People who are doing research outside of the mainstream are the ones we want to listen to.
Right.
And the people who were before called conspiracy theorists, now all of these conspiracy theories are coming true.
They are,
And so it's like, okay, maybe we should listen to these people who've been talking about there's these weird satanic files in our government, our politicians,
our movies, our music, our whoever is ahead of all of those things.
Right.
And then why are so many of these people in it? Even in the UK, like Prince Andrew or even the royal family and they're like cousin fuckers or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always something. And but then I'm just like, why is it always here? But then these a few of them are not.
Right. And that just goes to show you it's the people who are controlled who are the ones who are in these files. And this is just a big display of how they control these people through these networks. And so it's like they give power to people who are willing to do the most satanic, darkest things and to children.
How much of this are you going to swallow? How much of this are you going to become desensitized to? How much of this is going to still be in your mind next election or whatever? Whatever it may be, years, months from now. Like, I just feel like it's just infuriating, and they want us to be pissed off and screaming and like, oh, you're not mad enough. You're not doing this enough. You're not doing that enough. But then at the end of the day, it's like, I don't even know what to make of it, because I really don't think that any of this is by accident. Everything is calculated. Everything is pre-planned. I don't know.
We need to bring back public hangings and public executions. We need to get these people out of our government. We need to get this Jewish country club that runs this country out of here.
We need a wood chipper too.
We need a wood chipper. We need the guillotine. Yeah. And we need it to be public. This is supposed to be a country run by the people, not by some Jewish monopolistic oligarchy, you know, and that's where it's like the whole left and right is like, we're actually 100% a monopoly that's run by these private companies like BlackRock that funds like 90% of our government and our stock markets. They're all just like the goyim are just the laborers and we just do the work.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, if you guys are getting rich by adding nothing but betting on numbers. And, like, what do we get as Americans by supporting Israel?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely,
absolutely
nothing.
Nothing.
In fact, we're getting screwed by them. We're getting bent over by people who send us off to wars, kill our comrades, kill our military troops, tell us that there's weapons of mass destruction that later on you find out in public documented evidence. They didn't even exist.
Exactly.
You know, and while pretending that Israel doesn't have nuclear weapons themselves.
Right.
And we know that they do.
Right.
You know, and JFK, that's one of the reasons why he was killed. He was speaking out. He says, hey, we can't be a free and open society when we're run by secret societies that threaten our existence as humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do with the whole nuclear weapons. And you know what's crazy? Israel still won't admit to the fact that they have any nuclear weapons at all. while pointing the finger, look at their
weapons. But they supply other countries.
Right.
How do you not if you're a supplier?
Right.
Even if we are less than human or a goyim or what, I hate that fucking word, whatever they're calling us, because
right.
they are already pre-programmed to think that way about anyone who is a non-Jew.
Yep, it's terrible.
How does Trump allow himself to literally get bent over by another world leader? And there was this clip of Trump pushing in Netanyahu's chair,
right.
like helping him, like right. a little bitch.
Like a little bitch, yeah.
And whether it's that or whether it's J.D. Vance going to Armenia and seeing our Armenian genocide
yeah.
a memorial with the flame.
Yeah.
And that's where we go and we pay our respects to the yeah. 1.5 million people who had died. And anyone who has ever gone there knows that it is a memorial for everyone who perished during the Armenian genocide. And for you to go online and tweet it and then... But your big daddy tells you, oh, you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to use the G word. You're not
right.
allowed to say Armenian genocide.
Right.
And you just don't even have any balls, no stance,
nope.
no nothing. And you just take it down.
Yeah. And I believe that that's because he's working for Satan. His kids are mm-hmm. now marrying Jews as well. He talks about the fact that he doesn't pray. There was just I don't know if you saw it, a latest video that came out on him, and mm-hmm. he was talking about how Mike Johnson, mm-hmm. when he's in the White House with him, he'll say, hey, Trump, let's pray, you mm-hmm. know, and Trump says, like, oh, excuse me?
Mike Johnson's a very religious person, and he does not hide it. He'll say to me sometimes at lunch, sir, may we pray? Say, excuse me? We're having lunch, you know, the Oval. It's okay with me, but he's a very religious person, and he is popular, and he's doing an unbelievable job. So I think God is watching over you. God is watching over him. I don't know about me, so I hang around with him because I feel I'm protected a little bit.
He doesn't believe that God's watching him. And so we live in a country that's supposed to be one nation under God.
Mm-hmm.
And if our president doesn't represent somebody who's in God's interest, mm-hmm. we need to get him the fuck out.
Even if you're not a practicing Judaism as your religion, even if you were an atheist and
yeah.
you were a president, I would have at least been okay with that than you being completely manipulated, controlled
right.
By your master.
Right.
And you could have just said, oh, well, I don't really pray or whatever it is. But then you're just admitting to being handled by these people.
Right. And that's
controlled.
The thing is Judaism nowadays, it's not what it was supposed to be. Like what
right.
the Judaism that they're selling to us,
mm-hmm.
they're selling to this by appropriating the Jews
mm-hmm.
and saying that, oh, like just in if you read the Torah, if you read the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
it talks about how are not supposed to rebel against the nations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jews are not supposed to mass migrate to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So what these people are doing is they're not practicing Judaism. They're practicing an inverted version of the Bible. They're
okay.
literally doing everything that the Bible says not to do in order to usher in revelation. So
okay.
it's and that's and why this is important is because, you know, you could not care about religion,
mm-hmm.
but our government does.
Mm-hmm.
Your taxpayer dollars cares
mm-hmm.
about this prophecy
mm-hmm.
that they want to fulfill. And so as much as you cannot be into theology,
mm-hmm.
our government is.
Right.
And that's where our taxpayer dollars are going.
But how do you get away, or how do you even say something like, well, I'm trying to speed things up because my so-called religion that I'm practicing is telling me that I need to do XYZ and sacrifice XYZ in order to get to wherever
Murder
I need
people
to get.
And steal their land.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you could even sell that to people.
Well,
but they
got
sell
away
it.
With it.
They're
it's
great with
mass genocide in Gaza.
Well,
no one's saying anything.
It's like we are going up against a very professional narrative.
Right.
They have what's called the Hasbara, which is the way that they're taught to dispel anything that goes against their Jewish state. So they're taught, like, very professionally how to use words against us. So they'll say things like Israel has the right to exist. And
okay.
if you don't think that they have the right to exist, then what are you saying? That they don't deserve their own land? And it's like, Yeah, I am saying that they don't deserve their own land because they're not prosecuted anywhere. Mm-hmm. Jews can go anywhere and they're fine. Mm-hmm. In fact, they can fuck a child and go off to Israel mm-hmm. and flee from yes. the fact that they're dealing with this. So right. they do not deserve their own land. And you don't see Christians saying like, oh, we deserve our own ethnostate right. and nobody else is allowed to come in.
Right.
You know, and like what? They say that America is a Christian country, so now they deserve their Jewish country. Like, our country's not even run by a Christian anymore. Mm-hmm.
So, and even if it was, we're so diverse all through the 50 states, maybe more on the West and East Coast. We have a melting pot of different types of people. That's the whole point exactly. of the United States.
And they don't have a melting pot.
No,
nobody else is allowed to go there. Mm-hmm. And if you are a Christian and you go and visit it, guess what? You're going to get spit on. They're going to spit on you.
I know, because the Armenian churches are there and they're vandalizing them.
Right. And did you see the Goldstein Massacre? Have you heard of it?
No.
The Goldstein Massacre was this man went to a mosque, and he was a Jewish man, and he actually came from America. He moved mm-hmm. to Israel, and he was one of the commanders there. And he was known for whenever a Palestinian was hurt in their army, that he wouldn't even tend to them. So he would only tend to Jews. He mm-hmm. wouldn't tend to Americans. He wouldn't tend to anybody. Well, he had a revelation that, you know, we need to get these Muslims out of this country.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to a mosque and he pulls out a rifle and shoots over 20 people in a mosque in mm-hmm. their backs.
Yeah, because they're on the floor praying.
Praying, right? And now they have a monument for him, and Jews will go over there and pay homage to him. This man who went and just massacred Muslims. And
what did you expect from someone who right. humps and kisses that dirty fucking filthy exactly. wall they have?
Yeah. And then you talk to some of the politicians.
So nasty.
And the politicians will say, oh, what do you think about the Goldstein Massacre?
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, you know what? I think about their deaths the same way I think about flies dying. And that's how they see us.
Like a maggot.
They see us as yeah. as parasites.
Right.
And that they need to get rid of all of us so that right. they can have their own ethnostate.
Right.
Well, not only that they want to get rid of us, they want to control us. They want to herd us, just mm-hmm. like Goyim.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is a Goyim? Goyim means non-Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read their Talmud, which they don't want you to read it. In mm-hmm. fact, in their Talmud, it tells you that they're allowed to lie to us.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowed to circumvent a Goyim about this.
What is circumvent?
Circumvent means lie.
Okay.
Basically, like,
to do whatever you want
around it
okay.
so that you don't actually tell them the truth.
Gotcha.
And okay. so when they talk about, you know, they're going to help the American people,
mm-hmm.
they don't see us as people. They're always doing everything for their own ethnostate.
Right.
And that's what this is all about. And it's fulfilling their prophecy. And so a lot of my book is basically about how they use, like, and that's the thing, is Judaism is a completely different thing. After Jesus died, a few hundred years later, they created this Talmud. And
mm-hmm.
the Talmud is basically this book of law where they're having all these different arguments. And
mm-hmm.
if you talk to a Jewish person, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, we don't even really use it. But that can't be true because that's where Hanukkah comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously, you know,
still celebrate Hanukkah, that. Yes, of course.
Know? So they absolutely do use it, but they use it in ways that are just terrible. It's disgusting. And so what they've done since that time is Judaism.
So it's a man-made Bible that they created based on what they wanted to do, based on the things and people that they wanted to sacrifice for their own good.
Basically, rabbis, yeah, having different arguments about how to get away with going around God's laws. You know, how they can trick God. And, you know, God has these commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of it this way,
mm-hmm.
then you can do these laws. Like, they have these weird things.
Loopholes.
Yeah.
Where
it's like, oh, you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. So, you know, I don't know exactly what it's called. But they have this one where it's like, you're not allowed to tear anything because that's considered working. So when they're like, you know, using the bathroom, they're not allowed to tear the toilet paper. So they've got these weird little like rules like this, but they say, well, if you don't look and you tear it,
It didn't happen.
Then it didn't happen.
Stupid.
Dumb.
Yeah.
You know? And you think God's like, oh, you beat me.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Ah, you got me.
So, you know, the fact that they're able to get away with these things, yeah. it's wrong, you know? And I think we as Americans, we're sick of it. We're fed up. We want to stand up and say, you know, assimilate, figure out a way. But then again, these are the people, like, have you heard of George Soros? George Soros has actually been kicked out of so many different countries. Like, he was doing the same thing to Thailand.
In the last 2 years, you've been blamed for financial collapse of Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Japan, and Russia.
Yeah, all of the above.
All of the above.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you that powerful?
No, I think there's a great misunderstanding.
The Prime Minister of Malaysia,
yes,
said that the region spent 40 years trying to build up its economy, and along comes a moron like Soros with a lot of money, and it's all over. He called you a criminal.
It's easier for him to blame an outside force. I think that I've been blamed for everything. I am basically there to make money. I cannot and do not look at the social consequences of what I do.
Do you believe in God?
No.
So it's like all of these uprisings, almost like January 6th, mm-hmm. you know, in the No Kings protests, mm-hmm. where it's like they give you this stuff to where it's like, oh, no, look, the people are rising up, mm-hmm. but it's all orchestrated by them.
Of course.
So anytime we try and assimilate, we get put on a watch list.
Right.
Or
because
you know,
you become a domestic terrorist, and because it's not following what they want you to do, they're doing protests or dividing us or bringing us together, supposedly, whenever they want to do
exactly.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what they do in order to keep us from assimilating and saying, hey, there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's where we started with the whole Epstein thing is mm-hmm. like, hey, it feels like they're just threatening us. Like, mm-hmm. what are you going to do if we tell you that we're run by pedophiles? They're trying to condition us
yes.
in order to keep us from revolting.
Yes.
And, you know, what we really need to do is we need to stand up. And that's what our First Amendment rights. Thank God we live in America.
Right.
Because if you see what's happening in Australia, you say mm-hmm. something bad about Jewish people mm-hmm. or anything that we're talking about. If you mm-hmm. talk about the Talmud or say that, you know, that they control the media, that word itself, that phrase, they control the media, it's illegal to say that. How oxymoronic is that? That you're not allowed to say a certain person controls the media. But you could say, oh, Christians run the media.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Islam is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, these people are all terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, oh, Jewish people are, there's terrorists in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's anti-Semitic, which is ridiculous because if that were true, then these people would have to be actual Semites,
mm-hmm.
which if you're Semite, you would be Arab or somebody who speaks a Semitic language.
Mm-hmm.
These people speak Yiddish. They're from the Caucasus Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that these people come from a Khazarian. They come from the Khazaria. And if you even mention the word Khazaria, it's like, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. We're going to shut you down.
It's obviously an actual place.
It's
was
an
it
actual
not?
Place. Yeah, it was. And the Ashkenazi, which are this form of Jews.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about the Mizrahi or the Sephardic Jews. We're talking about the Ashkenazi.
Mm-hmm.
And these Ashkenazi, they come from an area, allegedly, I'm going to say that.
Okay.
They allegedly come from the Khazarian Empire,
mm-hmm.
which if you look, there's two different types of hypotheses of where these people come from. We're taught what's called the Rhineland hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're taught in school, is that these people come from the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another
chosen people.
There's another
mm-hmm.
theory. That's one theory, Rhineland theory. And then there's the Khazarian theory, which is that these people come from the Caucasus Mountains, like
mm-hmm.
around the Turkey, like Turkey, Armenia, Georgian
mm-hmm.
area,
mm-hmm.
which brings it back to like the Armenian genocide, which mm-hmm. was all these Turks were genociding Christian Armenians.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why were they massacring Armenians?
There was a time where Azeris and Turks and Armenians were living fine next to each other in the same farm area or in the same mountainous area, and
right.
they would get along. Scholars, professors, different professional men taken out of their homes, forced out of their homes, and executed either publicly or just thrown somewhere. And the women and children were usually pushed out into the desert, Derzor, It was a long desert where they would walk, and if you slowed down, they would shoot you. If you spoke out about something, they would shoot you. You were just marching to your death, pretty right. much. It did take between 1915 and 1922, 23, because they came back around. My paternal grandfather, his name is Constantine.
Okay.
Because he has a Greek name, because his father, Hovhannes, was one of nine children, and he was the only one who got away. He climbed up a tree and wow. saw his entire family get slaughtered in wow. front of him. Of course, that caused him an immense amount of trauma and mental instability afterwards, but he did run away as a nine-year-old boy. He went to a Turkish man's home, knocked on the door, and begged to go inside and
right.
have some refuge. The man said, "I'll keep you here. You can be like a little house servant for me until we figure something
Jeez,
out."
Wow.
And they did this with Kurds. They did this with Greeks.
Terrible.
Most of it was Armenia, because we were neighboring to them. Okay. So they would just come and annihilate yeah. and annihilate and push us out of our wow. ethnic homes.
Why do you think that we don't ever hear about the Armenian genocide, or nobody ever talks about the 60 million Christians that were massacred by the Bolsheviks?
Exactly.
And all we talk about is the Holocaust.
The Holocaust.
As a kid, I went to the Holocaust Museum mm-hmm. twice. And for field trips, we were forced to read wow. Anne Frank. Yet we weren't taught anything about the Armenian genocide. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Christians were killed.
Right.
Same with the Bolsheviks. Why were we not taught about that? Because mm-hmm. Christians were
killed. I never read it about the Bolsheviks. Of course, I learned about my own history, but yeah. never once was it mentioned.
No. Yet mm-hmm. we're taught about these 6 million Jews that were killed. Mm-hmm. And we find out with, you know, you could
Red
see
Cross.
With Red Cross, you know, they've got their own numbers.
Yes.
But I mean, before we even mention an actual number, which some people say it's 271K, mm-hmm. there are a lot of people who say like, okay, well, how could we even have done that? It's not even possible to have killed that many people, because not that many Jews were even in that area in the first place.
Yes.
And then you yeah. look at the numbers before the Holocaust and the numbers right. after the Holocaust, it increased.
Mm-hmm.
The amount, it was like 15 million and it went up to almost 16 million after it was done.
Hmm.
So it's like, how can we even accept that? And then one of the biggest ones is Treblinka, which was supposed to be the second largest concentration mm-hmm. camp that existed. It was told to us and narrated by this one Hungarian Jew who was mm. talking about how like, okay, yeah, there's supposed to be hundreds of thousands of buried bodies. Well, Australian researchers went in there and they did ground research, ground analysis, and they didn't find evidence of one single body, and they could say with 100% certainty that it never existed.
The scans that had been stored on the computer hard drives were then transferred to CD-ROMs. These were sent to experts worldwide for their opinions. The results obtained by the Australian researchers show with 100% certainty that a Nazi extermination camp never existed in the area called Treblinka.
And so, boom, we're going to have to take that number away as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and then one another thing is you see that they had tattoos on them. They had a certain number.
Right.
Never went into the six digits. Never.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like we can't find one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like we're not making fun of the fact that that was that. There were bad things that happened at that time.
Yes.
There definitely was.
There was a lot of bloodshed,
war
yes.
War is a difficult thing,
yeah.
and there's a lot of people who die. But why are we focusing on that one thing when there are so many other massacres?
Yes.
And it's because our books in itself, like Ghislaine Maxwell,
mm-hmm.
going back to Epstein, was mm-hmm. Ghislaine Maxwell, she's the only person who gets to have a puppy in her prison.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Epstein, when he was supposed to be in prison for the over 32 victims that were 100% proven to be his victims,
mm-hmm.
allegedly somewhere around that number.
Mm-hmm.
And he was basically given free rein. He could go back to his home, and he was able to have this, like the entire quarters were given to him, and he was never actually in jail. He got to go home with a...
Like his actual home.
His actual home. He got to stay in his
in
mansion.
New York?
Yeah, to do his work while he was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like even Epstein was never put in jail correctly
mm-hmm.
when he should have been publicly hanged.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We should have completely gotten rid of these people, but there's so many people who are blackmailed,
right.
and that shows that our Department of Justice doesn't mm-hmm. want to bring justice to these certain people.
Of course not.
And they're blackmailing our politicians. They're probably blackmailing. They've been blackmailing our FBI for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with J. Edgar Hoover, he was being blackmailed. He was in, you know, going to these weird gay parties where they were having weird sex and stuff like that. And
orgies.
They had all this information on these people in order. And at the same time, they were sending weapons off to Palestine under his order because he couldn't do anything about it. And so what happens when you speak out, you see, like with JFK, he spoke out, boom, we're going to kill him. You know what I mean?
But Johnson was with them. It's like he already knew the assignment.
Yeah.
He knew what he had to do because he got sworn in hours after
Lyndon
B.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then that's it. They had him.
Exactly. And that's the thing that happened with the USS Liberty. USS Liberty, where they massacred American citizens who were off the coast of Egypt, and they had a flag. Have you heard of this?
No.
Yeah, the USS Liberty was massacred.
What year is this?
It was the time of JFK's assassination.
And maybe 60s, late 60s.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And after he was assassinated. And some of those survivors are still speaking out against it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happened, and they basically bombed it.
So a Navy ship was bombed through Air Force.
Yeah, by the Air Force.
Israeli Air Force. Okay.
And they bombed the lifeboats. They firebombed them. Afterwards, they said it was an accident, but it was on Lyndon B. Johnson's orders.
Mm.
Lyndon B. Johnson was asked, hey, should we go and save them? These people were bombed and the ships were sinking. And he was like, no, I don't want to embarrass our greatest ally, which they say is Israel, is our greatest ally. And so Lyndon B. Johnson put in an order that, hey, we're not going to save them.
And what happened to the troops? What happened to the Navy soldiers?
Most of them all died. And some of the ones who actually did survive, who waited the 21, maybe even 36 hours, I'm going to butcher it, that were saved are now still alive. And they're speaking out against it, but they won't get any justice at all. And they're speaking out against it.
Who saved them?
National Guard. They came and saved the last few ones
left
after waiting so many hours because they wanted them all to die. And they had an American...
But why?
Why? Because they wanted to blame Egypt so that we could have a good reason to go into their land and, you know, same stuff that they're always doing is they blame the Middle East and so that they can go into the Middle East and send our troops over to die for their wars.
Mm-hmm. It's always Christians against Muslims by their order.
Yep.
And they're just killing two birds with one stone. Easy. Mm-hmm. Let's just send a bunch of Christian American troops to supposedly radical Islamic countries to spread democracy and blah, blah, blah. And then it's all of us dying and they're just like, oh, well.
Right. And we know, and Ben Shapiro was out talking about how, like,
I can't stand that guy.
I hate Ben Shapiro. He's such a douchebag. I used to think that he had good talking points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had good conservative talking points.
Yeah, when Mike Walsh was over there.
But all was
Matt
exposed
Walsh, Matt Walsh,
as soon as he started protecting everything that the Jews do.
Yes.
He came out saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with the USS Liberty. We did investigations into it, and we found that it was actually an accident.
The USS Liberty incident is very frequently used by anti-Semites to suggest that Israel deliberately targets American ships and then pays no penalty.
Israel murdered 34 of my shipmates in cold blood. They wounded 174 others, including myself, and almost sunk our ship in a constant barrage of nothing but hell on earth.
And there have been multiple naval investigations of the USS Liberty incident.
It says there's been 5 official investigations into the USS Liberty. There's never been one. They're all liars. When you write Congress, be prepared to be lied to. In fact, I called my Congress or senator, but guess what? They're all taking money from AIPAC. AIPAC has got them under the thumb.
There was a case of mistaken identity wherein USS Liberty was in the Mediterranean in a place they were not supposed to be. Israel thought that it was an Egyptian ship and shot it.
The USS Liberty was never a mistaken identity. It was a pre-planned, murderous, savage attack on innocent Americans doing their job for their country, and our country put a knife on our back and paid them billions for it. For murdering American sailors and Marines on the high seas, they got billions, and they're still getting billions from the United States of America because of it.
It was obvious. You don't make a mistake like that when you have an American flag flying on your ship. So these people have been doing this for forever, and you know that's.
I can't believe I never knew about that. Never
it's
heard
terrible.
About it.
Yeah, and we're supposed to call these people our greatest ally, like they're pushing us into wars for their own fulfillment of their prophecy in order to usher in their ethnostate, which they're told in the Bible that they shouldn't even have in the first place. Right. And that once they do usher in all of that, then Revelation's going to come, mm-hmm. you know, and they're going to have their Antichrist because they don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So they're still trying to find their Messiah, mm-hmm. you know, and
but they're worshiping Satan.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Which mm-hmm. they call the Moshiach is their new Messiah that's going to come in. And they believe that they're supposed to do all of these weird things in order to usher him in, like they're sacrificing the red heifer, which is a cow that they're supposed to sacrifice.
According to Mosaic law, burning the ashes of a red heifer is a mandatory act for beginning the temple offering to God. The ashes of the red heifer is a key element in a biblically mandated purification ritual. These ashes are required for purification in a range of situations, including contact with dead bodies. Numbers chapter 19.
Since the Canaanites, these people were sacrificing their children, going against God, literally like God's enemy.
Is this true? I saw it. It might have been not true. Was there a dog satanic
yes.
sculpture looking thing in Iran that
in
they,
Iran,
just,
they just burned.
Set on fire? Yep. Why was it there in the first place?
Good question.
What the fuck?
And how is it anti-Jewish yeah. to burn a statue that,
that
represents child
Satan.
Sacrifice?
Yes, yes, exactly.
How
exactly.
is that anti-Jewish? And if you're going to call that anti-Jewish, everybody's going to become an anti-Semite, which
yeah.
is not even a correct term. But
right.
they use these terms in order to
and
keep
no
us.
And no one corrects anything.
No.
And you just had, go
like,
with it.
We had the pentagram, like
yes.
the, you know, and they push that on us.
Yes.
And like, you know, in you got a Hot Topic mm-hmm. and they're pushing all of these like satanic looking shirts with, you know, and they make that cool. It's like,
right.
it's cool. They want it in Hollywood, mm-hmm. in our media. Mm-hmm. They're teaching children that it's cool to go against these traditional values of God.
Mm-hmm.
But really, anytime you go against these traditional values that are supposed to conserve mm-hmm. a society, you know, you want families, you want children, you want mm-hmm. people who are... The man is under God and the wife is under the man and they all follow the natural order of life.
Right.
But they want to flip that, and that's why they're pushing these things like feminism and LGBTQ, which if you look into transgenderism,
yes,
that all started with what's his name? It was the guy, I think it was not Theodor Herzl, but he was one of the German Jews who mm-hmm. basically pushed transgenderism.
Yeah.
And it was one of the things that Hitler was absolutely against
mm-hmm.
because these people were doing sex changes. So
and mutilations, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they rolled it out to American people as if it's like, oh, no, we're progressive now. And I went to college during the time of the Obama administration,
mm-hmm.
so I got to see everybody who was like, oh, you're not for gays and you're not for trans stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like we had classes where they were teaching us about transgenderism.
Yes. Like why is that
and,
needed in college
right.
or high school or junior high, whatever it is.
Exactly. And
yeah.
so that's where this whole liberalism, it pushed everybody to the right. But
mm-hmm.
guess what? They never pointed at the Jew. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so this whole left and right thing, it was like you feel like you're pushing for Christian conservative
mm-hmm.
values,
mm-hmm.
but then they're like, no, here we're going to sell you Judeo-Christianity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're going to sell you this mix of Judeo, which is the belief that Christ is burning in excrement according to their Talmud, and expect you to believe that like there's anything that has to do with Judeo-Christianity,
mm-hmm.
which it's absolute dog shit,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
how can you deny Christ
mm-hmm.
and then mix your values with a religion that says that he didn't exist?
Because you want to water it down for people to digest it better
yep.
for you. And
that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They did it to the Muslims as well.
Right.
After Jesus died and they got kicked out of the Holy Land,
mm-hmm.
how they got back in was they attached themselves to the Muslim Revolution,
mm-hmm.
and that's what allowed the Jews to get back in. So
mm-hmm.
they play friends with Muslims and they play friends with Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what was happening with Charlie Kirk. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, before Charlie Kirk died, months prior, I was saying, okay, you know, Charlie Kirk, he's really pushing these Judeo-Christian values. And
mm-hmm.
I was very against it, you
right.
know. And I was like, oh, Charlie Kirkberg.
They got him.
You know, they got
yeah,
him, you
yeah.
know. But then you look into the month prior to him dying, and he's basically saying,
so
like,
against it.
He said specifically, mm-hmm. he said, leaving me no other choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause. And mm-hmm. he was saying this to his donors. Mm-hmm. This isn't a joke. He's not just bantering. He's mm-hmm. telling them, hey, I'm leaving the pro-Israel cause
right.
because everything that you guys are saying, I'm against.
Right.
You know, and you're pushing, he was even saying out loud, I believe that Epstein is an Israeli Mossad agent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I remember him saying that.
Exactly. And he was saying things like secular Jews are the ones who are pushing for our immigration and our open border policies.
Mm-hmm. And Jewish donors, they have a lot of explaining to do, a lot of decoupling to do, because Jewish donors have been the number one funding mechanism of radical open border neoliberal quasi-Marxist policies, cultural institutions, and nonprofits. This is a beast created by secular Jews. And now it's coming for Jews, and they're like, what on earth happened? And it's not just the colleges. It's the nonprofits, it's the movies, it's Hollywood, it's all of it. It's like, time for you guys to wake up and say no more. Draw a line in the sand. I don't care if you hate me.
When it's like, okay, the same people who are pushing for our open border policies are now pushing for ICE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing is like when I tell people, hey, I'm not for ICE, they put me in a category of, oh, you're some liberal who wants our borders to be flooded.
Because you don't know the whole story.
Nope, I don't want our borders to be flooded. I mm-hmm. do think that we should have good border policy. Mm-hmm. I think we should protect our country mm-hmm. from outside forces coming in, especially when you've got cartels who are trafficking children, and a lot of the trafficking happens through our open borders.
Yeah.
And a lot of, and we've got over 400,000 mm-hmm. kids missing mm-hmm. every single
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
We're the worst country for trafficking, and we're doing nothing about it.
And they don't even DNA test them at the borders anymore. They used a DNA test before Kamala Harris passed a law that says, oh, we don't need to DNA test the adult that's carrying a 10-year-old or holding a hand of a 13-year-old kid and saying, oh, I'm her dad.
That's disgusting. And then you see, right, and then you see at the borders, mm-hmm. there's like panties and like children's clothes that are like hanging on some of the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that like the trip that they're taking to come over to our country is so bad. And it's
mm-hmm.
they're filled with these dark things.
Mm-hmm.
And they use the cartels
mm-hmm.
to push in fentanyl over our borders. Mm-hmm. And now we've got a fentanyl crisis in our country.
I mean, the cartel is doing their share of horrendous things bringing it into our country, whether it's illegal children that are being trafficked or drugs. But they will always say, well, it's them that they are doing it. It's not us. It's not, you know, these kids are just running away from home. These kids are from bad families. These kids are being taken away by Child Protective Services.
Right.
How do you account for 400,000 kids a year missing from the United States, the greatest country in the world?
Exactly.
How do you do that?
And then they use our empathy against us and say, oh, you're not for everybody coming into our country and you're against illegal immigrants. You're racist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And all these isms, racism, transgenderism, liberalism, it's
mm-hmm.
all created by Jews,
mm-hmm.
by this Jewish agenda.
It's just more and more things to divide us. That's
right.
That's
and
the
it's not
main
even
thing.
Against Jews. It's these people who call themselves Jews but are not, but
mm-hmm.
they're actually the synagogue of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And they use Jews' trauma in
mm-hmm.
order to get the Jews to follow them.
Do they identify as Jews or Zionists?
I mean, yeah, they identify themselves.
Are they one and the
as
same?
Jews. Well, they call themselves Jews.
Yeah.
But then you talk to other Jews, and like some in Brooklyn or some, you know, that actually follow the Torah, and they'll tell you, like, yeah, Zionism is anti-Judaism. It's antithetical to everything that we believe in, and they're using our trauma against us. So a lot of people will say, well, stop talking about Jews. Be mad at the Zionists.
Right.
But you have to see it this way, is that over 90% of Jews are Zionists. So
okay.
it gets roped into this category. So I think anybody who's just pro or anti-pedophilia, anti-war,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get put into this, oh, you're anti-Zionism. Well, if you're anti-Zionism, you're anti-Jew, because most Jews are Zionists.
But you are the ones who are doing these things. Let's call a spade a spade. That's why they say
exactly.
that.
Yeah.
You are the one who is doing all of those things that anyone with an ounce of consciousness can be repulsed by.
Right. Yeah. So,
oh my God,
it's a yeah. And there's the sickest things that you can imagine of any conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. They're doing that and worse.
Yes.
So we're at a point to where it's like, okay, if you were a conspiracy theorist back in the 90s mm-hmm. and you were talking about, we saw like with Oprah, mm-hmm. you know, she was yes. talking, to different
those videos
people.
That got banned.
Right. She was talking to different people about, and they were like, yeah, we're Jews. And you know, our parents, yeah, they taught us to eat babies.
On the outside, you appear to be a nice Jewish girl.
Definitely.
And you all are worshiping the devil inside the home?
Right. There's other Jewish families across the country. It's not just my own family.
Really? But what kinds of things went on in the family?
Well, there would be rituals in which babies would be sacrificed.
You witnessed the sacrifice?
Right. When I was very young, I was forced to participate in that, in which I had to sacrifice an infant.
And the purpose of sacrifice is to what? Is to bring you what? What are you sacrificing for?
For power.
Uh-huh. Power.
Guess
what?
That
was, I think, before they got her.
And yeah. And this is what happens is they end up gaslighting you.
Yes.
And saying they had this whole ideology called it's the satanic panic.
Mm-hmm.
And they use psychologists, philosophers to come out and say, oh, well, you're doing this hateful rhetoric by pointing these terrible, disgusting things out. When it's like, no, I'm being human. And any human who can feel any sort of empathy, if you have a soul, mm-hmm. you can understand that any child being hurt innocently, it's wrong. And to point that out and accidentally pointing out that a certain group of people are doing it makes mm-hmm. you bad, it's wrong. And that's the way that they keep us from doing that is mm-hmm. saying like, oh, no, you don't want to be a racist, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be an anti-Semite, do you? And so they train us,
of course,
to be scared to speak out.
They have been training us since the time where we weren't allowed to question the Holocaust. We weren't allowed to say anything negative about its validity and right. how it happened, how many died, who, what, where, when, everything. You could not question. It was a crime to question the Holocaust or right. say it didn't happen or right. didn't happen as badly as you said it would mm-hmm. or had. So if you are already conditioning people from almost 100 years ago not to say anything against them,
yeah.
then obviously you can breadcrumb, little by little right. by little, get to a point where even when they are blatantly hurting, mm-hmm. sacrificing, mutilating, drinking blood and cannibalism, the most horrendous things you can think of is truly happening. And the minute you say something, it's like, oh, well, you're... Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what happens. And the same thing, I don't know if you heard about Avicii or Chester Bennington from Linkin Park.
I didn't know them, but I was very, very upset after Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah. Anthony Bourdain, Chester Bennington, Avicii, mm-hmm. they were all working on this one documentary that was speaking out against this whole child trafficking ring.
Right.
And they ended up all with mental health issues dying right, by suicide.
Right.
And that's what they do is they'll say, oh, yeah, he died. He killed himself, even though there yeah. was two gunshots in the back of their head.
Yeah.
You know, so that's they scare people into talking out. And I think that's what Charlie Kirk was, hey,
yeah.
this is what happens when you go against us.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, it's like, well, why haven't we been killed for talking about this yet? Well, it's like Charlie Kirk.
We're not important enough yet.
Exactly. Charlie Kirk, right. he was ready to be. They were priming him to become president.
Right.
And now Erica Kirk is taking over his right. company.
Oh, God, yeah.
And we're all just disgusted by the way that she's acted
right.
after his death. Because
right.
that's not how a normal human acts after mm-hmm. their husband dies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't end up going on and saying, well, it's anti-Semitic and forgiving Tyler Robinson immediately. Before we even knew it was Tyler Robinson, she comes right. out with a public statement saying, I forgive him.
Yeah.
That man, that young man, I forgive him.
Like, yeah. bitch, I'm not crying for you. You know
yeah,
what I mean? I'm
right.
crying for Charlie. You know,
right.
what happened to Charlie? And we need to figure out what happened to Charlie.
They're not even investigating her. They're not even questioning her. They poured cement over his where he was actually shot
right.
or if he was even shot.
Yep.
The bullet didn't even go through his neck. But anyway, like, I mean, there's so much we could talk about with Charlie. I
yep.
mean, I'm trying to keep up with Candace. I love that she's trying to find justice. I don't know if she ever will, because it's just, we're just going in circles, and she tries to talk to Erica, and she tries to, you know, talk to Tucker Carlson. I know he's really with her on this. She calls out Ben Shapiro for his nonsense, and she's just constantly running this huge circus of like trying to find the truth. But how? I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Well, I do think that she's been bringing up a lot of great points.
Yes,
and I
she
do
has.
Think that Candace,
but she's alone, like, other than the people who are commenting and trying to support her.
Yeah, but I mean, she's pointing out a lot of inconsistencies, and that's what you need to do as an investigation, and that's what the FBI should be doing,
but
is looking
not gonna...
into each lead. Right. It's like, okay, well, here's an issue, so let's go talk to them. Mm-hmm. So that's what Candace is really doing. There's a lot of people who are out there, like, reporting on what other people have said. Mm-hmm. Candace is really out there being like, hey, you know what? We need to talk to the mailman. We need to talk to that person. We need to figure this out.
Right.
So we need people like Candace Owens to go out there and speak against these things.
Of course we do.
She's getting closer.
Right.
And next week, apparently, she's putting out an entire investigation on Erica Kirk's entire background. And we see with Erica Kirk, like her mom, she worked for an intelligence company that built like a tech company where they worked in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one
that part I haven't heard.
Yeah, she's the one who basically revealed that, you know, she was with, what's his name? She was in Fort Huachuca, and that's important because after she mentioned Fort Huachuca, they were all gaslighting the public, being like, oh, what's a Fort Huachuca?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, well, that's actually where drone testing is done, and that's where her mom's company, AZ Tech, so she would be absolutely familiar with it. Not only that, but then we found out that Erica Kirk did a movie in Fort Huachuca where she played an assassin on a roof.
Oh.
She played an assassin on a roof in Fort Huachuca. And so she's trying to pretend like, oh, we don't know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's these questions are important because it gets us to the heart of how this whole operation works. And we know that these operations were built to be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
So all we can do is look at all of the different things that are around this and paint a picture of what really happened.
And she is piecing a lot of things together that is like, oh, well, this doesn't make sense because you lied about this and you lied about that and you weren't really there or you didn't answer this phone call and blah, blah, blah. But again, why is Candace doing the work of our Justice Department or the police that are within their jurisdiction for that or FBI, whatever it is? I want someone to hold someone accountable for something.
Same. And
just
it's the
something.
Same thing with the Epstein thing. It's like not a single person was arrested.
Nobody.
Why is nobody in jail? Why has nobody been looked into? Like RFK Jr., we found out that his wife very well might be buried in Zorro Ranch, which Zorro Ranch is the ranch that Epstein ran. He was given to it by Les Wexner. And so Epstein was 100% funded by Les Wexner.
Okay.
And he owned the place called Zorro Ranch.
Okay.
Which is allegedly a breeding ground for Ashkenazi. He would literally breed children there. And in Zorro Ranch, one of the craziest things is they happened to win the $80 million Powerball jackpot for the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you question, okay, well, is now the lottery a fake thing and it's used to be laundered for criminals now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how lucky do you have to be?
What is the correlation between RFK's wife and
RFK Jr.'s wife, So if you look into it, they say that she killed herself, but you look into the autopsy and you see that there are signs of bruising and signs of an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, RFK Jr., he's an incredible guy. And if you look into some of his books, like I read his book called The Real Anthony Fauci, and it talks about basically how they created COVID.
Right, which we know.
And they had, like, the year prior, they did a test for all of the corporations to what would happen if an emergency happened and there was a virus that spilled into the public. Well, all of these large corporate entities were all taught how to respond to that, while everybody else had to respond with reaction, you know, like, oh no, there's this bad thing happening. All these corporations were ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when all the small businesses got smacked.
Mm-hmm.
And while Walmart and Target, they were all They all kept going.
Yeah.
And this goes into my book when we were talking about ESG, which mm-hmm. is the economic social governance. And so, you know, what's going to happen with this whole new world order mm-hmm. is they're creating, and they say, especially the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, mm-hmm. they've been talking about Agenda 2030, mm-hmm. where they're using sustainable development goals. Sustainable, mm-hmm. and they've been pushing for against climate change and basically giving us all of these ideas that, oh, okay, you guys are polluting the world, so we're going to figure out a way to reset the world mm-hmm. in their great reset. Mm-hmm. And that's where this whole pandemic happened, and we were all pushed to be like, okay, how's the public going to react if we force you to be mandated to stay in your house, mm-hmm. to get vaccinated, to listen to the experts, to not question it? And then now all these vaccines, we're finding out they've been like black boxed because they were killing people and causing mm-hmm. myocarditis. Mm-hmm. Like, and they tried to suppress us and it just woke us up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it did wake up a lot of people. But even now, 6 years later, you'll ask some people and they're like, yeah, you know, I still wear my mask or I'll do it again if I have to, blah, blah. I mean, I know it was a complete test of how much of a free thinker we are, how much they could scare us into doing things, mm-hmm. how much they could manipulate us into doing things, force us into doing things. Like, I don't understand how people can be so okay with your government or just anyone, of the police, your mayor, anybody, your neighbor, yeah. telling you can't do this, yeah. and not giving you any real explanation, and you just have to go with it.
Right, and that's social justice, and how they push social justice on people. You're going to kill your grandma
yes,
if you don't
yes,
get vaccinated.
Exactly.
If you
come, or your neighbor's
if
grandma.
If you come to my
yeah.
house, then you don't care about us, and mm-hmm. you don't care about our families not getting vaccinated. So they push this thing where it's like, oh, I'm going to be the good person.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a good goy.
Exactly.
I'm going to be a good boy and
exactly.
I'm going to get vaccinated
exactly.
and I'm going to listen to everything because I don't want to hurt grandma,
mm-hmm.
you know, and those people who are thinking and researching, mm-hmm. they're hurting grandmas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be like them.
Right.
And
right.
now that all of this has come out that, hey, a lot of this has been black boxed, we're finding out that there's what's called white fibrous structures coming out of people's body who's
what
been vaccinated.
That? What is that?
So the morticians. So morticians are the ones who embalm the body when
right.
people die.
Right.
And they add the preservative fluid to
right.
their body.
Right.
Well, all of the morticians who've been doing this for 40 years, experts at this, when
yeah.
they were embalming the bodies of the people who were vaccinated, they couldn't get the embalming fluid through the body for some of these people who were vaccinated because they had these white fibrous structures that were inside of their blood vessels, in their veins.
Here's a super one right here. This is a 5.5-inch clot, Brian, that an embalmer
Incredible.
Took out. It was either out of the abdominal aorta or the inferior vena cava.
And
okay, hold up. Did they die from natural causes or did they die due to COVID-related
deaths, most of them.
Even after being vaccinated?
Yes.
They got COVID and probably had underlying issues or they
right.
were older and not healthy. They died.
It accelerated their deaths. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And so these people, the morticians, all of them, they banded together saying,
mm-hmm.
hey, are you guys seeing this too?
Mm-hmm. This
is all across the United States. It's
uh-huh.
all documented. You can see they were coming together saying, like, are you guys seeing these white fibrous structures? And they would put them in fluid tubes. They were told that they had to throw them away because it's waste and you're not allowed to keep those. Well, a lot of the morticians kept them and they were kicked out of their jobs, basically ostracized from the community, saying, like, you can't be talking about this. You're not a scientist. You're just a mortician.
Back around November of last year, of 2021, people were asking me, well, how many people are having these strange clots? And I didn't have a very good answer for it. So starting in November, I started making notations of whether or not the person was clotted or not, or vaccinated. My green is people that have been verified or vaccinated. Yellow typically is somebody that has smaller clots. And the orange is somebody that had more significant clots, the clots that are really kind of concerning to me. I have it dated for the quarter, I mean, numbered by the quarter. So the entire quarter, I had about 130. Yeah, only almost 14% had no significant clotting. A lot of the substances that I'm seeing are stuff that looks pretty much, it's this white fibrous stuff. Now, instead of calling them blood clots, I try to refer to them as white fibrous clots or white fibrous structures. How come all of a sudden these things are happening in so many people? When I first started seeing these strange clots, in the beginning I thought, you know, this is kind of weird, it's kind of crazy, I don't understand. As I started gathering more and more photographs, I'm able to share it amongst other people that I work with. I talk to other embalmers that have 30, 40, even 50 years of experience.
You just showed me the picture. It really does. It's disgusting. It looks like calamari that would come out of people's bodies. That could cause a brain aneurysm. It could cause a, what is it, when you get a blood clot in your leg, mm-hmm. and then it causes a heart attack.
Aneurysms.
Yeah, just all around, pulmonary aneurysms, yep. and all this stuff. It's just poor circulation all over your body, right. when you should be having the best circulation as you're getting older.
Exactly. And we have the physical evidence, and right. we know that Dr. Fauci hasn't been tried. In fact, I think before Biden left office, he pardoned
him.
Anthony Fauci. So it's yeah. like all of these people are implicated in poisoning, hurting us, mm-hmm. coming after our children, messing with right. us, propagandizing our media, making us fight against each other. Like, right. oh, I'm pro-vaccine. Oh, I'm not vaccine. Oh, I'm right. left. I'm pro-ICE. I'm anti-ICE.
Right.
And it's like, you know, and that's where I was going with the ICE thing, because I kind of jumped topics mm-hmm. there, was I'm pro-border policy. Right. I want a country that is filled with American citizens. Absolutely. But the problem is that ICE is using the same software that they used in Israel to mm-hmm. create what's called Gaza is a lab doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically over
you mentioned 50, that in your book.
Exactly. Over 50% of the people who were killed, a lot of them were just military aged men who weren't even doing anything wrong. But this software basically creates a 3D map of their entire area, and it can track their cell phone data to their buildings, to their cars. And it basically created what's called the kill machine. And it would kill people at will mm-hmm. Based on the recommendations of this software.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that same software, which was created by Paragon Solutions, it was a spyware called Graphite. Well, now ICE is using that same software to supposedly track illegal immigrants, but what they're using it for is it can track anybody to be considered a domestic terrorist. Mm-hmm. They can check all of our phone records. They could see everything that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they rebranded it and they called it Immigration OS.
Right.
And so, you know, it's a Trojan horse, you know, like, hey, we brought in all these immigrants. Don't you want to get them out?
Yes.
And then they give us ICE. And now all the Trumpers are all just like, oh, yeah, if you're not pro ICE, then you're not MAGA. And
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
you know what? I voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was going to do much better things than he did. I mm-hmm. think he was a much better choice than Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. you know, who was just a complete shell of a human. You know, I wouldn't even want her as my third grade teacher, let alone mm-hmm. my president, you mm-hmm. know. So, and then they had Trump, who got, you know, supposedly shot in the ear, which now I'm
publicity stunt, big
publicity
time.
Publicity stunt. And at the time I was for it. I'm like, mm-hmm. wow, look at him. He can get up after getting shot and be like, fight.
Yeah.
But it was like, this was all theater. This
it was.
Is all theater. And the kid who shot him happened to be in a BlackRock commercial years prior. And then another thing is Trump's ear. Cartilage doesn't grow back. First yeah. off, cartilage doesn't grow back.
Yeah.
You know, he was there
just
a week
later.
Just
ask any MMA fighter.
Exactly. Exactly. He was there a week later with his ear completely intact.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they bring in the problem and then they usher in the solution. They give us the problem
yes.
and we just outrage at each other
yes.
while we're like pro-Fed.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody who's ingesting Fed slop and still Democrat, Republican, oh, you're a lefty, you're a righty, you're dumb. I'm sorry. Like,
yes.
wake up. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I am pro-human and mm-hmm. I am anti-government because I believe that a government should represent the people. And if our government doesn't represent the people,
mm-hmm.
we need to get him the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and burn the American flag, but if you burn the Jew flag, it's hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
How dare you
tell
me
America.
That I have to support a foreign country over my own.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? How dare you? You know, like, that's not what America was built for, you know? And I think that the boomers were all basically, we came back from World War II and we had a booming class. You know, that's why it was called the boomers, is they were all able to have so many kids and have a flourishing society. People were barbecuing. They had their July 4th parades. Everything was great. You know, people were collecting cars. You could go mow lawns to the point where you could buy your car in a few months, you know. But now we're...
You can live off of one income.
Exactly. Yeah, which is... A huge part of why they're pushing the feminism is because they want now two incomes in the household, because one won't be sustainable anymore. And it's not even like even real estate, like, to sell a house to somebody nowadays, you prefer that they have two incomes because it's much more stable.
Yes.
And because that's how it is nowadays, is the median home buying age. I believe that it's 58 years old now, when it used to be like 30, used to be 30 years old when I think maybe 1970s, 1980s, somewhere around there. Right. So we're living in a completely different time where our generation doesn't see any point in supporting the things that our government does.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back in the day, it was important. It felt important, at least, to choose this president over that president. But now we're saying no matter who you choose, you're getting bent over backwards.
Exactly. Yeah. I watched something last night. I don't know why it came up, but supposedly, and again, allegedly, this was happening with Epstein. He was like very low on testosterone.
No, I heard that.
And he was paying some doctor to help him with his hormones and his T levels.
Erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which also feeds into like why he likes what he likes. Not that I'm saying it's excusable by any means, but it makes sense why you would have this problem and then you would seek this type of like pleasure or whatever to help you with your problem. But I'm curious to see why he would be funding the type of doctors for the whole transgender thing and hormonal changes that trans people have to go through. And do you know anything
why
about
that? Why he was doing that?
Yeah.
Well, I did see in the Epstein files. I mean, I don't know how that pertains to him having low testosterone. I mean, one thing about that is the doctor that he was seeking his ED medication was saying in the emails, he was saying, hey, once you get your medication, let's go out for pizza and grape soda together.
Okay, right.
Which is disgusting. But to jump, I feel like it's a jumping subject, but to talk about the transgenderism, there were emails in the files that were also talking about, like, oh, pick what type of person, like what type of child that you want. We could do femboys. We could do women who are on testosterone. We could do children who are on beta blockers, and you could have a trans child. And so they treated children like menus. And so some of these kids on the island were like, had different tastes for different folks, you know, and whatever your type was, you could figure it out.
Right.
And that's what I think these people are, transhumanists, where they believe that like they can manipulate humans at will. But even in those emails, he was talking about like, oh, I would never give my child this.
Mm-hmm.
But we have children who are like this.
Of course. Yeah.
So is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah. I just wanted to see like the connection between the two, or why he does he want it? Does he want to push this for a certain reason?
Yeah. They're definitely pushing
it. Variety.
On children.
Yeah.
And not just for their own variety, but to subvert an entire society, because if children are on these puberty blockers, they're not going to eventually get married. They're not going to have kids.
Right.
They're not going to be part of a traditional family.
Right.
It's going to screw their entire family dynamic up, you know, like I wouldn't wish
a
transgender
such a high suicide rate.
Such a high suicide rate. And even after their surgery, it doesn't go down. It goes up.
No, so I'm saying post-surgery.
Right.
Yeah.
So how
transitioning,
is this? And they say that this is how you heal them, and this is therapy for them. But what
they're
you're doing
preying is preying on very insecure, confused children and making them do things. I have two daughters. I would never even allow a nose job, let alone anything past the age of, until your frontal cortex is fully matured, I don't think you should do anything that detrimental to your body. Of course, afterwards, you're a grown person. You can make those decisions.
You go through puberty once. And it's a magical, beautiful process of being a human, is being able to go through that puberty and to be able to develop and to be able to each day that you wake up and that your body is evolving into more of a man or more of a woman. Like, this is a beautiful process. Mm-hmm. And to be able to mess with that process messes with that human for life.
Right.
So if it do something like that, then it's really going to screw them mentally. And we should do everything that we can to help our children develop into the men that they should be, or our women to be the women that they should be.
Right.
And there are so many different things that, like, and it's the same with the body positivity movement, is like telling kids that, like, oh, being fat is okay. It's like, well, now you're basically telling them, okay, they don't need to become a healthier version of themselves, and they should be accepted as they are.
Which is eating whatever you want, any disgusting thing that you want.
And that's not love.
No.
That's not love. You know, if you really love somebody, you want them to develop into the best person that they can possibly be. And to tell, and it's not talking about bullying people or shaming them, but it's telling them, hey, you have the ability to become such a better person.
Healthier.
And that's real love. If you really care about somebody, you want them to be the best version of themselves.
And of course, children go through, like you said, hormone changes and puberty, and sometimes they'll be kind of pudgy and chubby, and then they'll have a growth spurt, and they'll change, and their face will change, and their bodies will change. It's just saying, like, skinny doesn't mean I'm going to love you more or you're going to be more beautiful. It just means if you take care of yourself, you can be the best version of yourself. And as you're growing and as you're maturing and getting facial hair or pimples or chest hair or not or whatever it is, or a belly or whatever, you're forming into the adult that you're going to be, and you're going to continue changing, and you can even change your body by going to the gym and hiking and walking and being active and being the best version of yourself. I don't understand why they're pushing this. It's just so unhealthy and gross that it's...
And that's the thing, is when a kid is dealing with these issues or even transgenderism and all of the therapies that they're going to have to be on. And same with obesity. Like, if you have somebody who's obese, they're going to be now addicted to insulin. Mm-hmm. Insulin is a $1 billion industry, you know, and a transgender child, I'm not sure the exact cost for it. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, to treat a child in order to keep them in their mental illness. Mm-hmm. And that's what they want to do. They don't want to kill us. They want us to be sick and relying on pharmaceutical companies and relying on experts and doctors. And that's, I think, one of the biggest reasons why there's so much cognitive dissonance with the vaccines, and why people, you know, we see this myocarditis, we see some of the charts that are saying this, but they listen to the medical advisory board that told them that this is what they're supposed to do. And when you realize that, hey, maybe the medical advisory board actually pushed me to hurt a lot of people, it's hard for them to grasp. It's like, no, I was helping. I was helping. You know, so I think it's really difficult. I'm not blaming doctors. I'm just blaming the fact that, hey, so they want to do something good. And when you follow the medical guidelines that say, hey, this is how you're going to keep your insurance and how you're not going to take risks to hurt people, and then they end up hurting so many people, how do they accept that the advice that they gave hurt so many people? It's really difficult. So it's better to block it out for them and just to continue living their life, pretending like they didn't hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because if they understood that they hurt a lot of people, then they'd have to accept, hey, maybe the system that I'm working for in itself
that
is
I've been
poisoning
indoctrinated
people.
Into and taught all this as a nurse or doctor or surgeon.
Exactly.
Is
what am I going to let a conspiracy theorist tell me that us doctors aren't smart? Right. You know what I mean? So it creates this dissonance where it's like, oh, you're not an expert. And it's like, same with the vaccines. It was like, okay, well, have you looked into what this vaccine does? And they're like, oh, no, don't look into it. It's like, what? If you're buying a car, you're going to look into it. Right. So, like, if you're going to get a vaccine
that I'm going to put in my body,
that I'm going to put in your body, and they say, don't look into it, otherwise you're a conspiracy theorist. It's like, no, the same thing as when I'm buying a car. I'm going to do research on that car, figure out what the best one is. But now it's wrong to read?
Okay. Going back to the mortuaries and the morticians who found that evidence, and then they were dismissed, or they said, you know, you shouldn't be looking at it under a microscope, and you shouldn't be... whatever. And then some of them even lost their jobs. Was there anything done afterwards where they went to, you know, a medical board, or they called in to their local hospitals or doctors? They know that these are people that are working that get sick too. Like, hey, I'm a mortician. This is what I found. Yeah. You're my doctor. Yep. What do you think?
Of course. All of them were trying to speak out, and nobody listened to them because they said that you're not a doctor. They said you're not a doctor, you're just a mortician. You're not allowed to basically speak out on these things. And yeah, you may have these data points, but we're not going to collect this into our database of knowledge. And that's what I think a big part of what COVID did was they took real data and they skewed it. You know, it was the same thing with, like, if you died in a car crash but you had the flu, they said, "Oh, you died of COVID-related causes." Mm-hmm. Like,
you were attacked by a shark, but right. You were
exactly that's COVID positive. That's like 100 years of accurate medical research that they're just now throwing down the drain.
Yes,
and you see that they said that there was zero flus that year. Zero flus. If you look at the statistics, it says the flu disappeared the same year COVID came in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're labeling anything that was a flu as COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So that's muddying the waters. And I'm a data analytics major. I graduated with computer science. So one of the big things that I do is I research data.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a health coach and a journalist. So my whole job is I look into data and I try and understand why are these pharmaceuticals being pushed? What's the data? How is it being shown that they're even able to push these things? And you see that they basically hide all of the statistics. They do these studies
mm-hmm.
where they can say, okay, well, we're looking to help this side effect. So we're going to try and get 51% of the people in our case to show better on that one side effect, but forget about all of these other symptoms over here.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can get a pharmaceutical salesman to come in and say, hey, look, maybe you should ask your doctor about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doctor is given a bonus for selling a certain amount of these medications,
of course,
regardless of how good it is.
Right.
And so this is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they try and push bullshit onto Americans.
Right.
And we're one of the only countries that even allow for pharmaceutical advertisements in the first place.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be profit driven.
Mm.
It should be data driven.
Mm.
And that's what sickened me from the start and what turned me into a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
Is trying to figure out, why are they telling us that eating meat is bad? Why are we getting all of this Goyflix, Netflix bullshit telling mm-hmm. us that, like, cows are bad because they're farting? And then Bill Gates, this bullshit guy who created a computer and he was building viruses on a computer, is now talking to us about viruses in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he ended up being in the files as well.
Right.
Where,
right.
you know, it wasn't him saying it, but basically Jeffrey Epstein had drafted up a letter that was saying and this is what he does. He drafts letters for blackmail, you know.
Okay.
And so he was talking about in this letter that he sent to himself.
Okay.
And so this is
as a backup.
Yeah. So I think everybody who's saying, oh, Bill said this. No, Bill didn't say it. This was what Jeffrey Epstein was basically. He drafted a letter
mm-hmm.
saying that, like, oh, you don't want me to tell your wife about how you were asking me about antibiotics.
So he was even blackmailing his bestie?
He was even blackmailing his bestie. And that's what he does best. He puts blackmail on these people and then he holds it over their head,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that all these people stay in line. And he was a big part of creating this whole pandemic and being his big voice for it. And people just listen to him like he was some expert.
Yeah.
He's not an expert. I mean, look at him. He looks like a reptile. You know, like, why are we listening to these weirdos? And I can't even listen to a doctor
get over
that's
it.
Fat.
Like
the white fibrous structures.
Yes, I can't get over it. I was so anti-vax. I was so anti everything that they were shoving down our throats. I've gotten in fights and arguments with people close to me and my parents telling me, like, oh, you need to get vaccinated, otherwise you're going to kill so-and-so or whatever. And, like, you have to do it for everyone's benefit and you have to be selfless. And it wasn't about being selfish or selfless. It was just take a step back and just think.
Right.
Think of what this is doing. And why do you have to have booster after booster after mm-hmm. booster? Like, why? If it did the job in the first place,
exactly.
You wouldn't need those.
How obvious is it? It didn't make logical sense.
It was zero logic.
If you don't get vaccinated, that you're going to hurt the vaccinated. Well, then why did you get vaccinated? I thought that was going to help you. You know what I mean? So it's like, why would me being unvaccinated hurt you being vaccinated? Shouldn't you be protected?
Mm-hmm.
And that logic just went out the window.
Yes.
Because
they still got sick anyway.
They still got more sick. You know, they were sick more often than the people who were unvaccinated. The people who were unvaccinated, I think, are much better off.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, like, are these people who got vaccinated, is there something like, is there something that's not, like, synapses that are not happening in their brain now because they got this thing that's just not letting certain things click? And maybe that's where my own theories come into it, but it's like, it was a test on the public. Like, are you stupid enough to trust the experts without doing your own research?
Right.
And at the same time, they were threatened in their jobs. So I know that a lot of people got vaccinated, not because they believed in it, but because they were threatened in losing their financial, and, you know, they couldn't do that to their families. They don't want to get fired.
Yeah, of course. They were the breadwinner of the family.
I don't blame them. I'm not mad at them. I understand it. Some of my family were vaccinated, and those same people in my family were laughing at me because I was telling them that I'm not going to, they're having conversations about, like, oh, which one are you getting? Are you getting the Johnson & Johnson? Are you getting the Pfizer? Are you getting the Moderna? Mm-hmm. And they're all talking about it, and they're like, oh, how about you, Jake? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not going to, you know, because there's not enough research on it. This thing was pushed way too quickly, and I don't know what's in that, and I need to do my research on it. And they're like, he thinks he's smarter than doctors.
Yeah.
Laughing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
So, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of RFK Jr., I mean, I read his book, and you just read a few paragraphs of it, and you realize this guy was...
Why is he so quiet lately?
I think he's, you know, I think what happened with his wife, you know, I think his wife she's literally, I think, trafficked as a child and part of the Epstein files, and like, and now he's went on with Rabbi Shmuley. Have you seen, you know who Rabbi Shmuley
is? I've heard of him.
Yeah, Rabbi Shmuley, he looks like a absolute gremlin. And he was on with RFK Jr. talking about how, like, oh, yeah, we allowed you to meet your wife. So we deserve some interest on the fact that we let you meet your new wife.
You have a lot of Jewish friends. How did they react to the past few days? Larry David's a good friend. He's your shadchan. He's your matchmaker to Cheryl Hines, your wife. By the way, you were supposed to give him money. Did you give him, like, in the Jewish community, if someone introduces you to your wife, you have to give him a matchmaking fee?
I did not. I've neglected that duty, but I will.
Well, I hope he's watching. He should come and claim it with interest.
Larry wrote me a note saying, you're the last person in the world that should ever be called an anti-Semite, but if you ever use the word Jew, you're dead. So that was his reaction.
If you ever use the word Jew, you're dead.
He's somehow implicated, somehow blackmailed, but we know that his family was, like, killed by the same people that he's now shilling for.
So you think he's in their pocket as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely, because he's so intelligent. And that's where it's like, I think that somebody like him, who is so smart, that it's really difficult for us to understand, like, what pressure is he really under?
Yeah.
You know, what do they have on them?
What did we have?
And it's not just like, oh, we're going to expose you. It's like, no, we're not only going to expose you, but we're going to hurt your family. And we know that his family has been hurt by people who've been speaking out against Israel. And now he's over here having dinner and having his wife met by, you could just tell that he's their Shabbos goy. They pat him on the head like he's their little goyim, you know, and who knows what
that makes
what
me it takes. So disgusted when I see things like that.
And I don't
to
think
grown
it's,
men.
And I don't think it's just money, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like grown men. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, where's your backbone, you know? But that's the thing is, I what we may not be able to understand is, like, what pressure are they putting him under?
Yes.
Do they draft this?
Maybe he didn't even. I hope he'll be one of the few people that isn't a kid fucker or isn't into some weird, sick, kink stuff. I don't. Whatever.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is.
Yeah.
I just think he's a pawn, and he knows that he can be blackmailed by or threatened, or his family members, and he's like, I'm not gonna have more of the Kennedys die on my watch, you know. So I'll just go along with it.
And I was psyched when he was going to be our new health advisor.
I was too.
You know, because our old health advisor was like a transgender,
I know,
obese woman.
Yeah.
Our health advisor.
I know.
If that doesn't wake everybody up, then I don't know what will, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think to wrap this up, mm-hmm. I think what I was talking about is economic social governance, which is basically the rules and the checklist that corporations need to follow in order to receive corporate funding. And so, in like, you have to be pro-vaccine. You have to be anti-fat shaming and pro-body positivity. You need to be pro-LGBTQ. And that's why you see in Target, it's like all of the clothes are like, there's a little witchcraft clothing and like LGBTQ clothing and like rainbows. And it's like, why? And well, this is why. Is they're under what's what the World Economic Forum calls sustainable development goals.
Okay.
So you have to be
in layman's term.
Yeah, you have to be like anti climate change, or you have to be doing things that talk about how the climate is changing and how the seas are rising. And like, if a company adopts all of these values, then they're able to be funded by corporations. Like BlackRock.
Oh, right. You said that. Yes.
Right.
ESG.
ESG.
Right, right.
Right.
Like so, Target, like Macy's.
Exactly.
Yes.
And this is all a part of how they're going to reset our entire economy. Something's going to happen. I don't know what. But something's going to happen that's going to push us from now until 2030 into certain smart cities, which they've been talking about this. None of this is coming from me. None of this is my narrative. This is all coming from them. World Economic Forum, these companies that basically rule the world, and they put these certain values and they push it onto people and say, hey, you must adopt these values. And if you don't adopt these values, then you're going to be pushed out of society. And so they use ESG to basically get people to stay in line. And eventually they're going to be putting us into smart cities, which a smart city is basically a metered, gridded utopia that they're trying to sell us, where we're all going to have what is it? Universal basic income. And in order to be a part of the society and to be in this green climate zone.
Unless you're like a small business entrepreneur kind of guy.
Well, that's what, you know, we're. Those are the people who are going to be safe up until some event happens that's going to push us. We don't know what it is.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe it's going to be a big blackout. And eventually they're going to come in and say, hey, we're going to save you guys from the blackout by putting you in green zones. Or there's going to be some new virus. You know, we don't know what it's going to be. I mean, we couldn't have predicted COVID happening and how much that reset society. So from now until 2030, in order to reach their goal, which they call Agenda 2030, which they say everybody. Nobody's going to own anything. Private property, private ownership is going to leave. And we're going to be run by some AI digital governance. And I think that's a big part of what this whole Epstein thing is saying like, hey, you guys don't want humans to rule the society because look what we do with laws and look what we do with this. So we need some AI that's going to track everybody. And we're going to watch everybody. And once we can watch everybody, then we can stop the pedophiles. Then we could stop the climate change.
Right.
Then we could stop the anti-Semitic hate.
Giving us a problem, then giving us a solution.
Exactly.
Like you said earlier.
And so that's basically what my book is about, is about who are these people? And I'm not saying they're Jews. I'm saying it's this cabal that is a mix of Freemasonry, it's Jesuits, it comes from the Vatican, and how they've controlled these different power structures in order to usher in this new world government.
Right.
But at this moment, they're using Jews and their trauma to say, hey, you can't speak out against these things because you're going to be what's considered a domestic terrorist if you speak out against these things. And so that's why I was talking about ICE and the software with ICE and how they're using that as a Trojan horse to eventually bring in this surveillance state. And it's all converging into this moment where we're all going to be ruled by a world like a small cabal, which we already are.
They're just
conditioning us to understand that, hey, here's this problem.
Right.
We need to be ruled by an AI god.
Right, exactly.
And an AI god. And that's why I think, Judaism, they use this thing called mysticism, which is an eschatology where they use numerology. And so that's why you see with the Freemasons, they're all obsessed with the 33, 33rd degree Mason.